How many of you believe that God is here? Oh my God, I'm telling you, that God is, I believe, anointing us to walk into levels that He has expected us to walk into for a long time. I believe God has aligned our lives to a level where He is done His part. He has done His part. I love that. That was one thing that came out as we sat in service longer and we waited on God. Somebody came to the front and they said, God said He's done His part. So I want to just reiterate that, because I'm going to tell you, God has done His part. We are in a position to get in alignment with what God has said in and over our lives, and to receive and to be changed and to be healed and to be delivered, because it is right that our lives follow that path. And it is a good thing. And I can't imagine, how would you feel if your child, who you had done all of these things for, sat on the sidelines and watched because they could not move into things that you knew they were destined to do? I'm going to tell you, you are God's child. He desires to fulfill you. He desires to heal you, to move you into a greater level of fulfillment than you have any idea He ever had in store for you. So I am so excited at this level, because I believe that we are going to see anointings pouring out of this church, levels of healings that I don't think that we have seen before. Why? Well, because it's getting eviler, but God gets better. He gets greater. The church rises up in this season and it does something. And you are the church. You are the ones that God has, since the very beginning, predestined to be the ones anointed to carry out His plans in this season. And He will not be unfaithful. He will not be unfaithful. So if this is a wonderful season that God is birthing new levels of honor in each one of our lives, why don't you just close your eyes for a second? I just want you to say, God, I receive the new level of honor that You're calling me into. And all that comes with that, all the healing, all the deliverance, all the words that You need to speak into me, I refuse to be stubborn any longer. I will receive. I will be a vessel You can pour into. See, the things in our life that keeps us from doing that is we don't want to obey everything. We don't. We want to obey on some levels. But I'm going to tell you that there, the greater level of anointing we walk into will be the greatest levels of obedience that we walk into. And that's the truth. And obedience is never easy. And obedience is usually the harder road to follow. But I can tell you that obedience will birth things in your life. That's what that video shared Sunday morning. I love that. That's what He said. He said, you know, what is God asking you to do? Where is God asking you to obey? Not your flesh. See, that's where Samson was. Samson was in this really unique season. He would not cut his hair. And I'm going to tell you, at that time, a lot of men didn't cut their hair. That was not hard, probably hard for him to do. He would not cut his hair, but he would not honor his parents. When it came to that level in his life where his parents were trying to give him direction and speak words of wisdom into his life, he wouldn't honor them. He wouldn't obey them. So he capped his level of anointing, because he capped his level of obedience. So wherever you are at in your life, wherever you're capping your level of obedience, and you might say, I'm doing all that God wants me to do. Really? Have you ever read all of the Bible? There's a lot of things in there. I'm telling you, I get very convicted about all the time. If you don't just read the parts of the Bible that you like. Read all of it. Read all of it. Read all of it. If you can't read the Bible and find some level in your life that you're not living, you're not reading all of the Bible. Or you're reading it with a stubborn heart. You're reading it with a rebellious heart. Because all of us have levels of obedience. But I'm not even saying the general part. What is God asking you to do? Because the Holy Spirit is leading us exactly into the levels of obedience that He knows is what it needs in our life. What we need to have changed. Where we need to go. It didn't matter if other people cut their hair. That wasn't their level of obedience. But it mattered for Samson. That was his level of obedience. And whatever the level of obedience God is calling you to, you need to understand that you might not think it's important, but to God, it is important. Because God knows what He made you for. And He knows what that level of obedience will birth in your life. And it is an important process to work that into you so you can be filled with all the wonderful things God wants to fill you with. So tonight I'm going to start with the chapter, which is where all of this started. And I talked about it Sunday morning, I talked about it Sunday night, but I never once opened up this chapter in the Bible. But I knew tonight was going to be the night we're going to really hit on it, because I believe that we need to understand there are a lot of people that stand far from God, and God is calling them to come near. There's a lot of areas in my own life, I'll tell you, I still stand far from God. One of the reasons is, I just don't know. Another reason is, I don't obey that well. But I'm getting better. Hi, Miss Nanette. I'm getting better. I'm getting better. I'm getting better in my levels of obedience. So let me tell you something. I'm determined to get as close to God. But what I've learned along that road is, it takes me obeying to get there. It takes you obeying to get there. All right, so if everybody will turn to Psalms 19, and I want to kind of read this from a perspective of what we've been talking about, a vessel of honor. How far are you going to go? How deep are you going to get in? How much are you going to let His life, His way consume your life? How much are you going to let Him fill you? Because anything that you, any part that's left of you, is not what God intended. We're supposed to shine Him. And anything that we stand and say, well, this is me, that's disobedience. That's disobedience. All right, in Psalms 19:7, it says, and I'm going to explain to you this just kind of exactly how God, all of this chapter is good. All of it is good. Everything I'm about to say about God is good. God is good. All of it is good. But I want you to look at this in the perspective of understanding that there are different levels. There are different depths that we can go into in God. Now, I'm looking around to see if there's any before I even... I don't know. Maybe I see Mary. All right. How many of you have never been to Disney World? Raise your hand. Never been. Okay. All right. How many of you at least... Knowing what you know about Disney World, it looks good, right? Yes. Even if you've never been there, you can see it. You can think about it. You can understand. It's a good place to go, right? Yes. It's everybody's happy at Disney World. It's just that as before we even start getting there, I get happy. I turn into a 12-year-old kid sitting in that seat. I'm like, Mike, we're almost there. We're almost there. And that have been there. So who here has been to Disney World? Raise your hand. I know this is a crazy analogy. This is what God used me. All right. How many of you know it is good? Amen. Amen. How many of you enjoy Disney World? Mary, you got to stand up. I'm going to have to ask you. Can I do that just for a second? Because I know y'all. Y'all go every year, right? I was so hoping Trina was here. I was totally going to. All right. How much do you enjoy Disney World?
That's a hard question.
Oh, are you not a big Disney World fan? Did I pick the wrong person?
No.
Oh!
It's just one of those that words don't go there.
Yeah. All right. So words can't explain how much you enjoy Disney World.
Right.
Now, would I be safe going over here and asking him?
Yeah.
No. It's the same in my house, too. I'll tell you, Mike loves Disney World because I love Disney World. That's about as far as it goes. But what I want you to understand is you can only understand how good and how fun and how wonderful something is once you've experienced it. Now, you can guess. You can stand on the outside. You can see. You can think about it. You can imagine it. But until you experience something, you will never quite understand the complexity of how really, I'm going to tell you, unbelievably awesome it is. And God is that exact same way. God's truth is that exact same way. God's words are that exact same way. And so as we maneuver in love, we've got to understand there are so many areas about God that are so fantastically unbelievable that we just have not experienced yet. But I'm going to tell you, if you stick with God, you're going to experience all of it. And it's going to probably take obedience to get there. So it says, the law, we're going to start in 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting, and another word for that is restoring the soul. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. Now, the law of the Lord is the law in the land. It's the way that it works. It's the way that it is. It's what God says. It's how we are formed. It is, and it will always be. The law of the Lord is what formed you. The law of the Lord is the reason I breathe. The law of the Lord is perfect. And you and nobody, being truthful, can deny that's true. But there's a deeper level you can go. There's a deeper level I believe God is wanting us to go. Because then it says, the testimony. See what the testimony is? It's the law of the Lord brought down, put into your life to where it is activated in your life, to where it becomes your life, to where when people look at you and they see your life, they know what God has said He is going to do. Because you've taken the law of the Lord, you've put it into your life, you've obeyed, you've applied it, and it's become a way that when people see you, they see God, and what they know about it is, what God says, it's sure, because He was able to do it in me. That's a deeper level. Would y'all agree with that? That's one level. And God is good and perfect. But there's another level to where you get that good and perfect part of God working in your life, and it becomes something that you are assured of, where you know it is true, to where you believe it enough to where it changes what you're a part of. And when that happens, what it says is, it will make wise the simple. When God's word comes into your life and begins to activate in your life in such a way that it becomes your testimony. And I said, and I'm going to tell you, it makes me really sad when I hear people talk about their testimony and they talk about it like 20 years ago. That's a really good thing. I do. I think that's a really good thing. I think that's one thing I love for kids to know their salvation story. I think that is so important for them to be aware of God and how He moved. But I'm going to tell you, if that is the only testimony you have, you only know that the law of the Lord is perfect. You have not moved to the place that His testimony is sure. There should be a continuous testimony coming out of your mouth and out of your life. Because what the law says is true, but if you don't apply it and activate it, it's not going to be something you're standing on that's sure for you. So the testimony takes us to another level. Then it says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Now, statutes are, and I hate that I left my phone. It's over there in my purse, but I'm going to say it from memory so you can believe me. I've read this over and over again. I've looked this word up in the dictionary. Statutes are laws of the land. They're laws of government, laws of the land. So it comes back to this place again. It says the statutes of the Lord are right. So the laws of God's way of maneuvering in our life and in this world and in the heavenlies, in every area, it's right. And so many people stand back and say that. Yeah, it's right. It's right. Rejoice in the heart. But the commandments of the Lord are pure. Now, you know what the definition for commandments are? Enjoining what the law statute, what the statutes are. It's when it comes out of God's mouth and it comes into our life and it joins us to it. It attaches us to it in such a way that it even says that a command is something that is given to you specifically to you to do. And when God's law, statutes, become commands from His mouth into our heart that we hear and we take on and we enjoin ourselves into it, what it says is, it makes us pure. And it enlightens our eyes. So, what is God commanding you to do? What is God telling you to do? What part of all the statutes of the Lord is He commanding you to work on in your life right now? Because whatever area it is, can I just be really honest with you? It's the area that needs purity. It's the area that needs cleansing. It's the area that inside of that vessel is not all right, and He knows that. And what His purpose in talking to you about that, or making situations evolve to where you have to deal with that, the reason He's doing that is so that He can purify that and make you be a vessel of honor that is filled with Him. And then it says, the fear of the Lord is clean. I love that. I love that. The fear of the Lord cleans us. It washes us. What I was telling you Sunday, man, the fear of the Lord is such a level of love that until you actually get into it, you don't understand how much it is love. Because what it's doing is, it's purifying you to your deepest levels, and it's teaching you things you don't know. It's enlightening your eyes. It's bringing you to a place where God wants you to walk. And this is one way that there's so many different levels that we fear God. There are so many different levels. Some people fear God on a basic level of they think that if they don't, God will do something really bad to them. I'm going to tell you, a lot of the world fears that way. A lot of the world operates with God in that way. And in Exodus 9, I'm going to jump over there really quick because I just want to kind of show you this. There's so many different levels that we maneuver with God. But I'm going to tell you, God is drawing us into a deeper level of maneuvering with Him. God is drawing us into a deeper level of not just being on the surface, not just standing distant. God is calling us to a level to where all of us can be consumed by Him, and to where we are aware of what grieves His heart because our hearts are next to His. Church, if that's not what we're crying out for in this season, I don't know what we're crying out for. We're crying out for Him, right? Well, when He comes in all of His glory in such a way that it purifies us. It is a season for the church to be purified. To have the fear of God follow us in such a way that it cleans us through and through. That's love. That's love. So here where we see in Exodus 9, I love this because what's happened is the Egyptians have had all of these different plagues coming. Plague after plague after plague. And at some point, they begin to fear God. Now, did they love God? No. And I'm going to tell you, just because you fear God does not mean you love Him. They feared God. What they believed, they started to believe, man, He might be telling the truth. He might be telling the truth. And if your level of love with God is when He comes to you, and if it's not birthed out of love, if you can't understand it's love, you need to understand that you only allow God to respond to you in a way that way. And that's not the best for you. It's really not. The best for you is to let Him fully in so that He can teach you what love is. So He can teach you what good is. So here where we see the Egyptians are, it says, therefore, God gave Moses this command, and this is what He said, therefore, ascend now and gather your livestock, and all that you have in the field, for the hail shall come down, and every man and every animal which is found in the field and is not brought home, they shall die. And then those who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his livestock flee to the houses. See, they feared the word of God. They did. They feared it to an extent that so many of us, in times in our lives, we walk that way. We will obey God as long as it. We're not going to get out into a place where it's not protected. But can I tell you the truth? God is asking us to obey Him fully. Fully. Let me show you a picture of someone who obeyed God fully in that season. Moses obeyed God fully. Moses heard what God said, believed God was going to do it. Believed God was going to do it. He was not much different than the Egyptians right here. He believed God was going to do it. But the difference was Moses believed that God was going to do it because he loved him. You see that? Moses believed that God was doing that because God loved Moses. And that's the difference. Unless you believe that what God is doing is because he loves you, you truthfully are not understanding this process at all. And God is telling you tonight, I'm drawing you in. Don't stand on the outside lines of fearing me at a level when I'm telling you the fear of God is the goodness of God, and it births the love of God, and it births things in you that you need in this season. And it's so important that we are able to gauge ourselves in that area of our life. That we can stand back and honestly understand in our own hearts, God is doing this for my good. Not just on the side of faith, but on the side of love. God, you're doing this for my good because you love me. Because you love me. Now, what would keep us from understanding that? I'm going to flip back over now. You know, this is where a lot of times you saw where the children of Israel went walking through, and they would come to a place and they would test God, and that made God very upset. But a lot of times we do that. They would say, I'm going to see if God's going to be faithful. How many of you do that? We move into a place with God and we're going to see if God's going to be faithful. Remember, they brought too much back because they were going to see if God was going to be faithful. Can I tell you, it would be much better in this season right now with what God is telling us if we would see how good God is going to be. Change your thinking. Don't walk into a situation in the thought to see if God's going to be faithful, because that is only letting God in so close. That's only that level where you see the testimonies of God are good. Step across it and say in your heart and allow God to birth a cleansing in you that says, I'm going to see, God, how good you are going to be to me in this season because I know you are faithful. Change your thinking. Let's become a people. Let's become a people who don't question God, but who move with God. Who don't question God's ways. See, that's one of my favorite things God clicked in me a long time ago. It said that the children of Israel knew God acts, but Moses knew his ways. Moses knew the way God was moving. He knew God. He didn't even have to know what it entailed. He just knew that God moved good. He moved faithful. He moved triumphant. And I'm going to tell you, the way you move into that is as God begins to move in our life, especially in this season, we grab a hold of it and we see how good God is going to be to us. Because it will birth good things in your life. If you are waiting to see if God is going to be faithful, I'm telling you, God is waiting to see if you're going to have faith. That really is the case. If you're waiting to see if God's going to be faithful, God is sitting there waiting, saying, when are you going to get faith? At what time? But if we'll get into where God is telling us, which I believe is a deeper place than we have been before, we're going to see things that God has promised in His Word for His church to see in this season. All right, so you go back really quick to Psalms 19, and I want to kind of tie this together at the end with something I believe is a reason that we respond to God this way. Now, I know this sounds like a whole lot of just different things that we do wrong and things like that, but I'm going to tell you the truth, the reason that we respond to God a lot of ways, it's because it's the way that we have been taught or the way that we have been formed. The way we have been taught or the way that we have been formed usually depicts for us which way that we're going to respond. But can I tell you the truth? We can't stay that way. We can't stay that way. You can't stay that way. It's okay for that to be that way to a time. But when God is calling His church to be healed, to be made whole, to be vessels of honor, when God is calling His church, it is not the time to blame it on the past. It is the time to let the past be taken under the blood and to let your future be secured. to let your future be secured. All right, Psalms 19 ends with this statement in this way. It says, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, sweeter also than the honeycomb. Moreover, there by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is a great reward. Who can understand his errors? Who can? Who can understand where you're messing up? We can on some level, but I'm going to tell you, I mess up all the time and I don't even see it coming. I do. Who can understand that in himself? Keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Presumptuous sins is defiant sins. And I'm going to read to you what it says right here. It's so good. It says, defiant sins, defiant desires, give the promises of God without living the life that God requires. So think about that. It's expecting God to do His part, but not living up to the requirement of what God is asking us to do. What is God asking us to do? To be obedient. To be healed. To not stop on this side and say, well, this is how I was raised. This is how I was taught. This is how I was treated. To not stop on this side. The way that we make it to that side is we get onto this other side over here and we say, God, I'm going to trust you to be good to me because you are a good God. And to believe for healing because God is a healer. Now, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, I know I said that about all of them, but I'm going to tell you this one right here is one that is such a small story, but man, it cuts to the very core of where a lot of my issues were. And God used this over and over and over again constantly to change me. So everybody, if you'll turn to 1 Chronicles 4, you might not have ever read this one. It's two verses. Two verses. And if you've ever read Chronicles, a lot of the first of it is just names after names after names. But I went through a long season where God is having me read all the Bible, all the Bible, all the Bible. And every time I got to this part right here, I'm telling you, I got so excited. Because this promised me something that I didn't have. And if you can find something in the Bible that promises you something that you don't have, you know what God is telling you to do? Get it. Get it. Believe for it. Be healed to released into it. It is saying, God is saying to you, I want this for you. God didn't expect us to walk away with one talent. He wanted us to walk away with 50. Expect God to do all the things He wants to do for you. So this is what it says. It's such an odd story. But it says, it goes through it and it's listing the family of Judah. Okay? In 1 Chronicles 4, we're going to start at 9. And it's going through name after name after name. And then it says, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And I love that part right there. Everybody just say yes. I'm joking. And his mother called his name Jabez. Jabez means he will cause pain, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed. And that you would enlarge my territory, or that means enlarge my borders. Take this box that the enemy has drawn around me, this place of demonic words and curses that have been spoken over my life, what he was crying out for, God, help me to break out of this and to move into a level that this bondage has no more hold on me. And enlarge my borders, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, and that I may not cause pain. Why do you think that he said that so emphatically? Because that was the lie of the enemy over his life from since he was born. That was a lie that the enemy spoke into his life when he was little. And that lie became such a declaration over who he was that it boxed him in. And out of his heart, he said, I am not going to listen to that anymore. I am not going to tolerate that anymore. And he became relentless with God to get to a place to where God could take that away from him. That's the relentless place God is wanting us to go to walk into. And do you know what God did? Because he didn't just say, God, change my name. He asked for a lot of things. He said that you would bless me, and that you would enlarge me, and that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, and I will not hear what the devil says to me again. So you know what God did? God granted his request. God granted his request. Why? Because he wouldn't settle on this side with God. He wouldn't settle on this side with God. And I'm going to tell you, church, it is way too much of a settling on this side with God when God is saying, I want to enlarge your territory. I want my hand to go with you everywhere you go. I want your name to be something very different from what it depicted from the very beginning. And all we have to do is want it enough to change, to obey, to be healed, to be delivered, to be set free. And I'm going to tell you, if God did it for Jabez, he would do it for you. If God did it for Jabez, he would do it for you. I've taken that scripture to the bank with God so many times. God, you know what? I don't think he loves you more than me. I've told God that specifically. I don't think he loves you more than me. I know you know my heart. See, David said, God, search me. See if there's any wicked way. Can I tell you what wicked is? It's what the devil says. What the devil is saying to you is wicked. You need to hate it. You need to hate it as much as Jabez hated that. You need to hate it in such a way. People have such a hard time believing they can hear God. But we have such an easy time believing we can hear the devil. Anytime something ugly comes out of our mouth, we say, oh, that's the devil. How many of you ever do that? Can't believe the devil. But then we'll stand on this side and say, I can't hear God. Really? God made you. He formed you. He created you. And I'm going to promise you, if you start focusing in on his voice, you're going to hear him speak to you so loud and so clear that no matter what the devil says, it's going to crush it. And he wants people like that. God is crying out for a church like that. He is desiring people like that. That will not stay in the box that the devil has drawn for us. That will get relentless for the healing power of God to do something more than we ever could do on our own. Because God promises he will. He promises he will. Because what comes when the Son of Righteousness comes? And Jesus came. What comes on here? What'd you say, Miss Jane? Healing comes. Healing comes. And when healing comes, do you know where the devil is? He's under your feet. It even says he's ground up dust under your feet. So I'm going to ask you tonight, I want everyone in this room to close your eyes. I want everybody in this room to block out anybody else that's here. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't want to go, I love you. I don't understand you. But I can tell you, I believe that this is a church that wants to walk into things. That God's desire has been for us to seek and find our whole life. Holy Spirit, I ask you right now. I want each one of you to just open up your hearts. Let your heart open up before God. And I want you to just kind of let it be a book. Say, Holy Spirit, take my life. Go back through all the pages. Look at everything in my life. If there is anything wicked that I have believed about myself, will you bring it up right now? Something that maybe was said to me, maybe some way I was treated, maybe a situation that as a child I didn't know how to understand how it was going on, but that situation wrote something on the book of my life, and it is wicked because it is not what you think. I want you to let him bring up, because I'm going to tell you there's a lot of it usually. Let him bring up a word or a feeling or a thought. And I want you to see that almost as a tangible arrow that the enemy sent into your story. And I want you to take it, and I want you to pull it out. I want you to pull it out. I want you to say, Holy Spirit, remove this lie from every page of my story where it has affected me, where it has infected me, where it has tried to put poison into who I am called to be. And I want you to hand it to your Father. I want you to take it. I want you to hand it to Him. And I want you to tell Him, I hate this. I hate this. This is the voice of the enemy. I will not allow this because You will not allow this. And I want you to say, oh Father, that You would bless me indeed, and You'll enlarge my borders, and that Your hand would be with me, and that You would keep me from evil, and I will not believe and tell what the enemy said out of Your mouth. Say, I will not believe it anymore. Father, I want You to give. Lord, I thank You that Your word says that You give good gifts. I want you to think about that. I want you to sit in your seat. I want you to think, the Bible says, the word of God says, the truth of the law, the testimony of this world, this life, every part of it says He gives good gifts to His children. Think about it. Trust it. I want you to step across the line here, and I want you to say, Father, what do You tell me in response to that lie? And listen. And see. I want you to put your hand over your heart. I want you to say, I receive it. I receive it into my inward parts. I trust it. I depend on it. It is faithful. I won't look back. I trust Your answer to the lies of the past. And Father, I thank You. All of those things I asked You for, Your word says You're going to grant them to me. Because You are faithful and You are true. And Father, I ask You right now, Lord, I ask You over every person that's in here. Lord, I pray right now a blessing over their life. Father, I pray a blessing and an anointing in this level of healing that You have brought them into. Lord, I pray that this will not be something that in their hearts will just settle with them, but that it will become a river of life, and out of that river of life will flow abundance into everyone they talk to, into everyone they see, into every area where the enemy has tried to use them or to abuse them through this lie. Father, I pray that this is an open window of heaven, that You're going to pour through healing and deliverance and love and acceptance. And I thank You, God, that You have a bigger plan in our healing than we ever even understand. Say, Father, make me a vessel of honor for the Master's use. In Jesus' name. I want you to take the communion they just gave you. And before you go out of here, I want you to consecrate the work that God just did. It was already done on the cross. And you just received it. So we take this communion right now together with an understanding and a belief that it is done. That there is nothing that by any means can come and try to take this away, because Jesus defeated this lie 2,000 years ago, and it is down, and God has spoken into your heart the truth, and the truth has set you free. Father, right now, Lord, I want You to just take the bread. Lord, your word says that your body was broken or is broken. And Father, right now, Lord, as I take this bread, I thank you that anywhere that the enemy has tried to break my life, break my heart, break my past, break my family, break my marriage, break my relationships, break my emotions, Lord, I thank you that as I take this bread right now, Lord, I am standing whole. Because you paid the price for my wholeness. And Father, Lord, I thank you for your blood. Jesus, I thank you for your blood. I thank you for your blood. The price that was paid for all of my sins. The price that was paid for all of my victories. And Father, right now as I take this blood, I thank you and I praise you that all is in the past and what you have done for me is written across my name. It's written across my forehead. And I walk out today in victory, receiving all the deliverance that you fought so hard to give to me. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you and I praise you that you are a good God and you do complete things. So I want you to just know tonight, it's completed. That lie, when it comes back up, it will not be familiar to you anymore. I want you to say that. When that lie comes back up to me, it will not be familiar to me anymore. Because it's not who I am. It's not who I am. I was bought with a price. God has written on my life. And Father, I thank you that the truth that you placed in their hearts sets them free tonight from any bondage that the enemy has tried for years or days or months to bring into their life, Father. He's tried to warp and manipulate, but Father, you bring healing and you bring strength and you bring a way that is perfect in our life, Father. I thank you, Lord, tonight that you broke the bondages and we walk out free in Jesus' name. Say, I'm free. He whom the Son sets free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Is free indeed. I believe with all of my heart that God is moving us into a season and He's doing it with healing in His wings. So I thank you guys for coming tonight. I appreciate so much the Word of God that comes and that God changes us in a setting like this. Because I'm going to tell you, He does. He does. So believe it. Don't let the enemy lie to you. When you go out of here tonight, you know without a shadow of a doubt. Remember, you're not going to be back here on this side saying on this level. You're on this side. You are assured of the testimony of God. Why? Because it's your testimony tonight. Say, it is my testimony tonight. It is my testimony tonight. And it is assured in me. So tonight, as you walk out, I want you to go out and I want you to find one person. It don't have to be in this building. One person to tell your testimony to. Can you do it? Can you do it? Can you go make a statement for God that God can use you to be a vessel of honor? Yes? All right. I love you guys. Thank you guys for participating in this wonderful week of healing.